The book of Numbers, chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. And it's titled, The Budding of Aaron's Staff. It's an interesting story, but the Bible says, The Lord said to Moses, Speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one from the leader of each of their tribes. Write the names of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name, for there must be one staff for the head of each tribe. Place them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony where I will meet you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites. So Moses spoke to the Israelites and their leaders. Notice, so Moses spoke to the Israelites and their leaders, gave him 12 staffs, one of the leader from each tribe. And Aaron's staff was among them. Moses placed the staff before the Lord in the tent of testimony. The next day, Moses entered the tent of testimonies and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but notice, but had budded, blossomed, and produced. Let me say it again. It sprouted, it budded, it blossomed, produced. It did more than they expected. How many of you want God to do more in your life than you ever expected? Can you just, yes, all right then. That's good. I'm going to preach to you then. Then Moses brought out the staff from the Lord's presence to all the Israelites. They looked at them, and each man took his own staff. The Lord said to Moses, Put back Aaron's staff in front of the testimony to keep it as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to all their grumbling against me. Here's an interesting note. They weren't complaining against God, yet God says they were. I want to give you an interesting point here right off the bat. But when you complain about someone, you're actually complaining to God. When you complain about a problem, you're actually complaining about God. Notice their problem was Moses. But God says, I'm going to put an end to their complaining against me. How many of you need to hear that this morning? Amen. Some of you are like, no, I don't like that too much, but just hold on. Because we're going to go into this series of growing pains. One of the things that's going to be very painful for you to have discipline in is in the area of complaining and grumbling. How many of you can confess honestly to the Lord here before the house of God and your pastor that you may have a little issue with complaining and grumbling, maybe lately? Look how many liars are in the house of God today. Wow. I want to preach to you this morning on the area of growing without complaining. Growing without complaining. It is very painful not to complain. But it's even more painful to see that you're lacking blessing because of that complaining you're doing. I want you to notice something here. The Bible says that the Israelites were complaining against Moses. They were tired of Moses. Moses was their leader, but Moses, they weren't happy with Moses because it was maybe taking too long, or Moses wasn't accomplishing what they felt he should have been accomplishing. So they had problems with Moses. So many of you here can relate to having problems with a certain person in your life, someone that you think they should be doing better, they should be more appreciative, they would be really just acting wrong in your life. So as they complained against Moses, God got angry to the point that the Bible says right before this chapter that God was about to completely wipe them away. That's how much God hates complaining. He was about to put an end to all of them because he was tired of hearing their constant grumbling and complaining. Their constant grumbling and their constant complaining. So at this point, God tells Moses, listen, go grab 12 leaders and let them grab 12 staffs. Now, as they grab this staff, I want you to have a mental picture of this. This staff that they were holding was just a stick. It was just a stick. It wasn't a type of staff you use for shepherding. This was just a regular staff. In other words, it was a tree branch. It was nothing. It was just a stick. And at best, they would write their names on it and pass it down to their children. But a staff was simply just a stick. When you looked at that staff, it was dead. When you looked at that staff, it was insignificant. When you looked at that staff, it wasn't flourishing. It wasn't growing. It wasn't producing. When you looked at that staff, it was completely empty. Now, when you looked at that staff, God says, I want you to bring me that staff. And the Lord commanded them to go to the altar, lay that staff down, and the Bible says the very next day, that same staff that was dead, that was empty, that was barren, was completely flourished. It was sprouting, it was to the point that it was blossoming and producing almonds. That's insane. But it was growing beyond what they ever imagined. So when I read this passage of scripture, it showed me one thing. There might be certain things in your life that you might be saying right now is hopeless. Like that staff, there's things in your life you might be saying, it's dead, it's good for nothing, it's insignificant, it's useless, it's worthless, it's never going to change. But what would happen if you would lay those very things before God? There's certain things in your life that only God can change. There are certain people in your life that only God can change. And as long as it remains in your hands, it's going to stay dead. But if you let it go into the hands of God, the very next day can change completely. Won't you give him a shout of praise today? Because we serve a God that says, whatever is dead to you can be made alive in me. And that's what God tells him. Bring me that dead stick. You might be married to a dead stick right now. You might be working with a dead stick right now. You might have a person in your life that you think, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. They're just hopeless. They're never going to change. But what if God is telling you today, bring them to me. Lay them in the altar. The very next day they flourished. And they never expected that thing to grow. They never expected that thing to change. How many things in your life have you already saying to yourself, it's never going to change? How many areas in your life are you telling God it's never going to get better? It's always going to stay this dead. It's always going to stay this empty. It's never going to produce any fruit. It's never going to change. And bless me, things are never going to go in my favor. But notice the very next day, the unexpected happened. Supernaturally, it began to grow. You see, that's what I want God to do in your life. I want you to encounter the supernatural power of God that causes you to flourish in such a way that only He can get the glory. I want God to change your situation in such a way that when you're able to look back, you're able to see how good God really is. And I want you to approach this new year, 2017, with an attitude that says that anything that I may call dead, that I surrender to God, can be better off than before. So that staff to them, it made no sense. It made no sense why they would get that dead staff, that little stick, and give it to God. But they obeyed. You see, God comes with instructions. Let me say it again. God comes with instructions. And if you obey His instructions, you too may see the supernatural power prevail in your life. But you have to be obedient. You have to follow His instructions. Sometimes His instructions are not going to make any sense. Sometimes it's not going to make logical sense whatsoever. But see, as long as they remained obedient and they brought it before God just like He said, It changed. It flourished. But I wonder, what if they would have remained holding on to that staff? What if they said, we're not going to listen to these crazy instructions. I'm not going to be obedient to God. I'm not going to give up my staff. They would have never have experienced the flourishing of that staff. And many people today are not experiencing the supernatural power of God in their lives and the flourishment that represents blessing because they simply are failing to comply with the instructions of God in accordance to His Word. And it's that simple. You want life to work out? Make this work in your life. You want life to work out? Let the Word of God work for you. You have to obey His instructions. God has instructions for every area of your life that may not be flourishing right now. Did you know that? If right now your marriage isn't flourishing, God has instructions for that. Hey, marriage comes with instructions too. If your finances aren't flourishing right now, let me tell you that God has instructions for that right now too. If your children aren't flourishing, God has instructions for that too. Every area of your life that you may be saying is not flourishing, it's not producing, it's not growing, could be that you may not be following the right instructions that God has commanded. See, like that staff, I wonder how many situations in your life remain dead because you simply fail to surrender it to the Lord. How many things in your life, maybe at one time, because that staff, I guarantee, that staff in their hands, at one time was on a tree, producing fruit, flourishing, and now it's just a dead stick. And I wonder how many things in your life and areas can you point out to that you can look back on and say, man, things used to be so much better. It used to flourish. It used to be a blessing. And now this area of my life is just dead and empty and useless. And there are so many areas of your life right now. You're able to look back and you say, it used to be stronger than this. It used to be better than this. It used to be more lively than this. And now it's just dry and it's just empty. And I'm tired of seeing my life this way. I wonder what area in your life you're thinking of right now. Maybe it might be your walk with God. Maybe you're able to look back one time in your lifetime and you're remembering a time that you used to be crazy about the Word of God. You used to spend countless hours on it. You used to love to go to church. You used to pray. You used to worship. You used to love to spend time alone with God. But lately you've been so distracted. You've been so caught up with your life that you can't even remember the last time you prayed, let alone spend time alone with God. And your relationship with God is no longer flourishing like it used to. And then you might blame life. You might blame, oh, I'm just too busy. Maybe it might be your attitude. You're able to look back one time in your life and you say, man, once upon a time, I used to be happy. Once upon a time, I used to be a positive person. Once upon a time, I was a grateful person. I had a great attitude. I used to laugh. I used to smile. I used to have joy. I used to celebrate life. And now lately, all I do is just get bitter and complain and get negative and get critical. And I'm able to look back at a time when I was much happier than I am right now. That staff could represent your marriage right now. And there used to be a time that you couldn't keep your hands off each other. There was a time that you loved to spend time together. There was a time that you respected one another. You loved one another. And your marriage was flourishing. But now, the more time you spend apart, the more peace you have. There's something wrong with that. Whatever area in your life that you're able to look back in and say it used to flourish, but right now it's just dead and hopeless and empty. Let me tell you, that's an area that only God can fix. That's an area that only God wants you to surrender. And it remains dead as long as it remains with you. So how many things in your life are remaining to stay dead, hopeless, and empty like that staff? Because you're failing to surrender it to the Lord. You see, I think that that staff that God was requesting represented Israel. It represented them as a people. See, at one time they were flourishing. When God brought them out of Egypt, they were being blessed. They were worshiping. They were singing before God. God was giving them a brand new life. They were living a life of victory. They had conquered the 400 years of slavery. They were living a life of prosperity and blessing in the future. And they saw the goodness of God in their life. And that might be you right now. You say, I can remember a time when I felt like that. When I felt like I was victorious and I had peace and I was worshiping. And I saw the goodness of God every day of my life. That's what that was happening. They were flourishing. But now, we read that God wants to do away with them. We see that they're no longer being prosperous. They're no longer being blessed. And what happened? Was it God? No. Was it life? No. Was it their circumstances? Absolutely not. It was them. See, let me get down into your heart right now. Your unhappiness results in you. The reason that you're unhappy today, the reason that you're discouraged, the reason you're going through depression, the reason that you're sad and angry and bitter all the time, lies within you and nothing else. It's not life, it's not people, it's not your circumstances, and it's definitely not God. It is you. Because there's a lot of people going through what you're going through, but they're not reacting to it like you're reacting to it. Amen. So understand this. If you're tired of being dry, any dry people today? If you're tired of not flourishing, if you're tired of not being blessed, if you're tired of not seeing and experiencing the power of God in your life, and if you want change, understand that change starts with you. I know what you're thinking. Oh, no. Once I change my situation, then I'll flourish. Once I change my wife, then I'll flourish. Once I change my job. And then you're going to spend your whole life changing things, only to be more miserable. What if I'm telling you right now that what needs to change is your mind? What needs to change is your attitude. What needs to change is your perception of life and others. Because you can sit there blaming life for who you are, blaming God, you can blame your situations, you can blame others, and stay dead and dry. Or maybe today may be the day you recognize that God can make you better than before. You can actually flourish and grow and produce and be fruitful. I know it sounds impossible for you, but with God, all things are possible. Whatever area of your life you're saying is dead and never going to flourish and never going to change, let that staff be a picture of what God can do in the life of a person that surrenders to Him. Amen. A life of surrender is a life of blessing. A life of surrender is a life of change. A life of surrender is a life of victory. And a life of surrender is a life of freedom. A life of surrender is a life of joy. A life of surrender is a life of peace. And if you have none of those things, it's because you truly have not surrendered that area over to God. Who am I preaching to this morning? That you're probably thinking to yourself and you're saying, well, I'm just tired of things being this way and I want to see things change. I want to see things flourish. And God says, I want that too. But this is what you need to do. What happened to the Israelites that they became so dry and so empty and that to the point that God wanted to do away with them? It's simple. It's so simple that it scares me sometimes. They started to complain and grumble. That's it. Isn't it interesting that you expect God to say, man, I want to do away with them because there's a huge sin in their life and they're killing one another and they're burning sacrifices and they're, no, listen, all God says is, He literally says, Moses, get out of the way. Read this, it's a chapter before. He says, Moses, get out of the way so I can kill everyone. And Moses says, no, please don't do that. And what did they do that was so bad? They simply complained and grumbled. They complained and they grumbled. Let me tell you what the difference is. When you're complaining, it's an outward expression. A complaint is when you outwardly express your dissatisfaction in an area of your life. You can complain about something externally. You can express it. That's what they were doing. But they were also doing something that a lot of people don't recognize. God also can't stand, and He hates it. And that's grumbling. Grumbling is a more of an internal complaining. In other words, complaining is an outward expression of my dissatisfaction. Grumbling is an inward, private, emotional expression of my complaint. See, grumbling is more of an attitude, where complaining is more of an expression. So you may not be complaining today, but you're definitely grumbling. Because you may not be outwardly expressing your dissatisfaction with your life or someone else, but your attitude is. You may be walking around grumbling and may not even know it. If you find yourself more angry than usual, you might be a grumbler. If you have a negative outlook on everything, you might be a grumbler. If you find yourself being critical of other people, looking for their faults, looking for them to mess up, looking at where they're wrong, you're definitely a grumbler. If you find yourself being rude, arrogant, you're a grumbler. It's all in your attitude. If you're walking around not talking to people, giving the silent treatment, you think that honors God? You're a grumbler. But I'm not complaining. No, you're not complaining. Yes, outwardly, you're not saying anything, but sometimes your attitude is worse than if you would just say it. So how many grumblers do I have in this house today? You grumble while you drive? Because you drive all aggressive now? That's grumbling. You grumble at work? Well, I'm just not going to look at them now. You grumble at church? No, not church. Yes, I see it every Sunday. Grumblers. They're everywhere. It's all in your attitude. So people say, that's why I went wrong this message. I should have asked in the very beginning, how many of you have a problem with grumbling? Because when I asked, how many of you have a problem with complaining, everyone was like, no, I don't think so. No? Why? Because maybe outwardly you're not saying where you're dissatisfied. You're not saying where you're angry. But maybe inwardly your attitude has to change. You realize what God was offended with was their attitude? It wasn't just the physical complaining. It was their attitude. So a lot of people go by life just coasting through it thinking, I'm not a complainer. Glory to God. But they don't realize that they live every day of their life grumbling. And that their attitude gets taken over in their life. Because not only are they miserable, but those around them are miserable because of their misery. So you don't recognize and realize how God detests a complaining and a grumbling person. Now you're thinking, well, are you saying that as a Christian you need to be passive and not say? I'm not saying that. You don't let people walk all over you. You don't let yourself be taken advantage of. There's a difference between complaining to a person versus complaining about a person. When I complain to you, I'm expressing to you where I'm dissatisfied. You might have said something that hurt me. You might have done something that offended me. And I do so for the purpose of restoration. But when I complain about you, I do so for the purpose of bringing you down. Y'all get the difference today? So you might be saying, well, okay, I'll complain nicely. But any time you express something that brings a person down, you have just sinned before God. Because your purpose is to bring the person down. How many of you can confess before God and say, maybe I've brought people down with me lately? And my attitude. And my grumbling. My attitude is just always expressing my dissatisfaction. You'll be surprised how many people suffer with this serious case of staph infection. They're just dry and dead. They're staph infection. That's what I call it, staph infection. There's a serious case of staph infection in our church. You're just there, lifeless. And you're thinking God's going to bless you like that. I feel sorry for you sometimes. Because your attitude needs to change, not only outwardly, but inwardly. Because outwardly you can smile, but inwardly you can be grumbling and not even realize that God is displeased. Why does God hate it so much? Why? You know why God hates it? Because He knows the damage it does to your life. That's why God hates complaining and grumbling. Because I've heard it said, no, He hates it because it hurts Him. God doesn't. Are you serious? Oh, you hurt my feelings. God hates what's going to damage you. God hates what's going to be very detrimental to your life. That's why God hates sin, because He knows the pain sin is going to bring. That's why God hates divorce, because He knows the pain that it brings to a person's life. This is why God hates grumbling and complaining. Because He knows the damage that it does to you emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And He's trying to protect you from it. God hates it because, number one, it keeps you from being a person of appreciation. When you live a life of complaining and grumbling, you don't appreciate God and people and life as much as you should be. Here's how it works. When I begin to grumble, when I begin to complain about my life because I'm so dissatisfied and life is not happening the way I want it to be, the way I want it to happen, I begin to lose my appreciation. When you lose your appreciation, you stop being thankful. And when you stop being thankful, you start complaining. Think about that. Let that settle. I know it's a lot. But when I stop appreciating, I stop thanking. And when I stop thanking, I start complaining. Any area of your life that you're complaining about right now is an area you're no longer appreciating. If you're complaining about your wife because you no longer appreciate her. If you're complaining about your husband, it's because you no longer appreciate him. If you're complaining about your church, it's because you no longer appreciate it. If you're complaining about your job, it's because you no longer appreciate it. Think about that. Because most people think, well, I don't know where it went wrong. It's simple. You stop appreciating. You stop thanking. And you started complaining. When was the last time you went to that spouse and said, thank you for what you do? I know you don't have to, but here's the thing. Inside your life, inside that little heart of yours, you feel like they do have to. Because you're entitled. When was the last time you thanked God for that job you're complaining about? Hey, someone else will be glad to have it. Trust me on that. You keep complaining that it starts too early. It ends too late. And in between that, you do too much. You stop thanking God that your bills are being provided for. You stop appreciating it, so therefore now you complain. Every area of your life you're complaining about today is an area you no longer appreciate. That's why God hates it. As they were complaining against Moses and complaining against God, they stopped appreciating the fact that God had delivered them from bondage, that God had delivered them from Egypt, that God has set them free. They stopped thanking God for the water. They stopped thanking God for the food. They stopped thanking God for the provision. They started complaining instead. And that's what happens. When you have a grumbling attitude, you no longer have an appreciation for those around you or the blessings that God has given you. And you just find yourself complaining more and more lately. Number two, God hates it because it divides relationships. When you begin to complain and no longer appreciate and no longer thank that person, it creates this sense of discontentment, this bitterness in them. And it brings a lot of division to the point that the Israelites wanted to kill Moses. The same Moses they were thanking for setting them free is now the same Moses who became the enemy and they wanted to kill. Why? And how does that happen? Because that's what complaining does. Complaining makes that person you're complaining about the enemy. That same person that one time, a long time ago, you were thankful for. Am I not right about that? And now they're the enemy. They're the reason you're miserable. They're the reason that, hey, this is why I'm the way I am right now. And I got to do away with this person. I need to separate myself from them. I need to divorce them. I need to break apart from them. Because you've lost your appreciation for them. Not one time in the Bible do you see any of them go to Moses and say, hey, thank you for risking your life for us. Thank you for bringing us the Word of God. Thank you for leading us. See, I think as Christians, we need to be more thankful to those around us that are blessing us. Every little thing in your life, even this service, you don't understand what it takes. How many of you enjoy going to a clean church? You can thank hospitality for that. Give them a round of applause and be more thankful. How many of you are thankful that you can hear me right now? You can thank the media right now for that. They're working hard. Hey, how many of you enjoyed worship today? Did you enjoy that worship? When was the last time you thanked them? Because they were up here early in the morning practicing for you. We need to be people that appreciate the blessings around us and stop feeling the sense of entitlement like life deserves to owe us.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. We need to be people that appreciate more in the little things and in the big things. And we need to stop allowing complaint to destroy us. It divides others. It keeps you from appreciation. Not only does it divide others, but it puts a sense of wrong perception. They started saying, God has left us here to die. Moses has left us here to die. And none of that was true, but that's what complaining does. It allows you to imagine the worst about a person that's not even true. Number three, God hates it because it leads to rebellion. It leads to rebellion. As soon as they began to grumble and complain about their lives and how what God wasn't doing for them and what Moses wasn't doing for them, they quickly began to grumble and notice they began to rebel against God. They wanted to separate from God and go back to Egypt. That's called backsliding, by the way. Going back to the same thing God has set you free from. That is backsliding. Did you know that when you have a grumbling and a complaining attitude, you're more vulnerable to sin and rebel against God? Because you don't sin against God when you appreciate Him. But when you're complaining and you're negative and you're critical, the devil can trap you easier with rebellion and sin. And they wanted to go back to a life of bondage that God has set them free from. And lastly, God hates it because it brings discontentment. Dissatisfaction. They kept focusing on what they didn't have versus what they did have. They had blessings. They had provisions. They had freedom. But they couldn't see it because complaining will blind you to the blessings of God. Complaining will keep you from seeing the goodness of God in your life because your mindset and your focal point is all on the issues. It's all on the problem. And here's an interesting thing about complaining and grumbling. It's a habit. It becomes a habit. Not only does it become a habit, but it's a habit that will hinder the peace and the plans of God from your life. God planned for them to go to the promised land, and all of a sudden now God wanted to destroy them. That shows me that the plans of God can be thwarted out by your complaining. How do you feel about that one? You don't want to miss out on God's plans for your life, do you? You don't want to miss out on God's blessing now. And if you don't, then stop your grumbling and complaining. It becomes habit forming. Believe me. You make a lifestyle out of it. To the point that you get up complaining, you go to bed complaining, and in between that day, all you do is complain. It's a habit. So you might be saying, well, Pastor, what do I do? Because maybe, I'm just saying maybe, I might be a grumbler. What do I do? I'll close with this and help you out. God gave him simple instruction. Let me tell you, we serve a simple God. You make him complicated. I like that. I'm going to write that down on a shirt. God gave him simple instruction. Come to my presence. And lay it down. That staff that represented dry and empty and dead and hopeless, God said, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Come into my presence. Go into the tabernacle, which represented the presence of God. See, here's an interesting point I want to make out today. Most complainers and grumblers are missing the presence of God in their life. They no longer have it. They don't spend... I see everyone that has an issue with complaining and grumbling, I ask them, how's your relationship with God? And they say, no, it can be better. I don't spend time with Him. I don't pray. I don't worship. I don't read my Bible. I don't seek His presence. When you don't seek the presence of God, it makes it easier for you to not appreciate Him and the life He's giving you and the blessings that you have. If you're struggling with grumbling today, my number one advice to you is get back with God. Get back with Him in devotion. Get back with Him in prayer. Get back with Him in the house of God, in the assembly, in church. Get back with Him through reading the scriptures. Get back with seeking Him out. God said, just come to me and lay it down. Let me tell you, there's certain things in your life right now only God can change. Only God can change that person right now you're complaining about. Only God can change that environment at work you're complaining about. Only God can change certain areas of your life. And in order for God to change it, you have to let it go. Let go of the staff. It's dead in your arms anyway. And as they laid it before God, the next day, Aaron's staff was flourished. It had produced almonds. It had, you know what's crazy about an almond? It takes almost 12 years to grow an almond. 5 to 12 years. How awesome of God that in what He did in one day what man can do in 12 years. That's how powerful God is. He's not limited to time. And in God's hands, your life can change in one day. In one day, you thought it was dead. You thought it was was hopeless, but the next day I see maybe today it's dead, but tomorrow can flourish. That's what happens when you surrender your life to Jesus. You may be dead today, but tomorrow it's a different story. Just like God says, weeping may last through the night. That represents today and yesterday. But joy comes in the morning, which represents tomorrow. If you want a better tomorrow, surrender your life to God today. See, complainers spend too much today complaining about yesterday and not being blessed tomorrow. But if you want to be blessed tomorrow, change what you're doing today and get over what happened yesterday. Get over what happened yesterday. Some of your yesterdays were 10 years ago. You can't get over it. But if you want to see God work His supernatural power in your life that will cause dead things to flourish, you have to go into His presence. And number one, stop complaining. Because not only is it making you miserable, it's making me miserable and you are, and those around you. Get back to the presence of God. Why do I say that? Because complaining puts you as the center of life. But when you're in the presence of God, He becomes the center. And when God is the center of your life, you no longer have the temptation to complain about it. And number three, lay it down. Turn to your neighbor and say, lay it down. Lay it down. That's what God says. Lay it down, which is an act of surrender. The Bible says God laid His life down for us. That's what Jesus did. He laid it down. Abraham got his son Isaac and laid him down. Laying something down in the Bible always represented an act of surrender to God. So maybe God is telling you today, lay that person down. Yes, you're mad at them. Yes, you're complaining about them. Yes, they make you miserable. Hey, who can do better? You or God? So lay it down. That situation, that person, that area of your life, that sickness in your body, lay it down before God and watch how God takes something that was dead in your hands and now it's flourishing in His. And let God be the God that brings the flourishing into your life. You're sorry saying what I said this when I read that. I said, because I talked to God like He's right in front of me. And I said, well, God, I mean, what about the other staffs? They didn't flourish. What about the other 11? I went to bed with that thought and I woke up with the answer. How good is God? Let me tell you why they didn't flourish, because it wasn't His will. Because Aaron was the one that was chosen. You want to stop avoiding making mistakes for 2017? You show me your hands. Here. Okay. Listen. God can only flourish what's in His will. Let that settle. Because certain areas in your life aren't flourishing is because God never told you to have that. God can only flourish what's in His will. So He had chosen Aaron. And that's why it flourished. I wonder how many things in your life today have remained dead all these years and hopeless, and you've been miserable and you've been grumbling with your attitude. Because you have refused to lay it down before God. Let me pray with you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed today. If you're here this morning, I want you to spend some time with God today. And maybe this year already you've started off grumbling and complaining. It may not be outwardly, but inwardly your attitude is dissatisfied. You're angry, you're bitter, you're very resentful, you're critical. You have every area in your life, you have something negative to say about it. You're looking at the wrong in people. You're looking at the wrong in life. You're even looking at the wrong of what God has done in your life. And you no longer have a sense of appreciation for what God has done. You no longer have a sense of appreciation for those around you. You stop thanking God. You stop thanking people. And you now chose to complain about those areas in your life you're no longer appreciating. Well, I pray today you find repentance and you turn back to the presence of God. You ask Him to forgive you of the sin of grumbling and not appreciating everything He has given you. From the breath of your lungs to the steps of your feet, you don't deserve any of that. The roof over your head may be leaking, but it's a roof over your head. You better thank God for that. Thank God for every little thing and every big thing. And maybe, see, here's the thing. Maybe God can't give you more because you don't appreciate the less you have. You have no appreciation for the little, so then why would God give you more? You see, when Jesus held a basket with only 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish, it was enough to complain about. It was enough to say, God, this is embarrassing. This isn't enough to feed the multitudes. But Jesus grabbed that basket that represented insignificant, not enough, not good enough, and He held it before God, and the first words out of His mouth were, Father, I thank You for this. And it was then that God multiplied it. See, an attitude of thankfulness will multiply and flourish the blessings of God in your life. But an attitude of grumbling will only limit and diminish what God wants to do. So your choice is today if you want to grow. It's painful not to complain. But my prayer today is that you would repent of the sin of grumbling. And my other prayer today, if there's anyone here today that wants to lay down their life to Jesus. Because the Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That word nothing literally means without growth and production. And right now, without Jesus, you are that staff. You have a serious case of staph infection without Jesus. You're dead. You're hopeless. But you can come to Jesus just as you are and lay down your life to Him, because He's already laid down His life for you on that cross at Calvary for your sins. And the Bible says if anyone confesses that Jesus is Lord, He will forgive them and they will be saved. Confession simply means agreeing with God. You agree that you are a sinner, that we've all have sinned, and that only Jesus can pay the price for those sins, and only Jesus is the way to the Father, and you lay down your life trusting in Jesus. And God will turn your life around. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that everyone here will begin to surrender any area of their life that is dead and empty and without life. That there'd be a supernatural flourishing and growth and blessing upon that area that they once saw as hopeless and dead. And God, I leave it to You to open up the hearts of those who have not received You as Lord and Savior. Give them the courage to now stand for You once and for all, to surrender their life to You. If you're here this morning, church, and we all stand to our feet right now, as we dismiss here this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, with respecting those around you right now, if you're here this morning and saying, Pastor, I confess to God that lately I've been not appreciating the life he's given me. I find myself grumbling more and being negative and critical. I've stopped appreciating life. I've stopped appreciating marriage. I've stopped appreciating family. I have stopped appreciating his house. I have stopped. And lately I've been full of complaining and grumbling and criticism, selfishness. But today I repent and I want to turn to God with a heart of appreciation, thanking him for what he has done, and even thanking him more for what he will do. If this is your confession today, would you put that hand up so I can see you and pray with you today? God bless you. I see your hands. You there, all across the room today. You can put your hand down. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to lay down my life to Jesus, knowing he laid down his life for mine. And if this is your confession, that you know without a doubt that you're a sinner in need of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and today you want to give that life to him and complete surrender and make him the Lord of your life, would you put that hand up so I can pray with you and lead you in this prayer? God bless you. I see your hands. I see your hands there as well, and you there as well, all across the room today. I want to pray for you first. You keep those hands up. You pray this with me. You say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. And today, I surrender my life to you. I know you died on the cross for my sins. I know you are the way to the Father. And today, I surrender all my life to you and place my trust and confidence in you. Make me your child. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, would you give a round of applause for those people today? God bless you. Let me pray for the rest of you here today as we're still praying. I can hear the tears here. I don't know how much complaining you've been doing. But hey, why don't we all pray together? Would you grab that hand of that person next to you? I want to pray to you, with you guys here today. And then the worship team is going to lead us in this song of worship. And if you need personal prayer, I'll be here as well. But Father, I thank you for this message. Father, I thank you that you have this way of speaking to us in such a simple way that it brings deep convictions to our hearts. So I pray for those who have confessed of grumbling and complaining, being negative and critical. Father, I pray that you would just forgive all of us for not appreciating what you've done. Not appreciating the blessings around us. The blessing of just even being in your house today is a blessing that not too many people can have. And we take for granted. So Father, set us free from the attitude of grumbling and complaining, as we look to what you are doing and the blessings that you are. Help us to treat everyone with respect, to treat everyone with thankfulness and appreciation, because we are not deserving of any friendship we have right now. We are not deserving of any person we may be married to right now. We don't deserve every child we have right now. We don't deserve the job. We don't deserve, Father, the blessings. But we know that because we have it, it's only been out of your grace. Forgive us for not appreciating more and replacing that appreciation with grumbling. Help us to see the goodness. If you're here today, you're saying, Pastor, this is me today. I want to pray with you. And I want to lead you in this prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my complaining, my grumbling. Forgive me for forgetting the good you are and the good you've done. I now thank you and appreciate you again for both the little things, even the bad things, because I know you're in control. And today, I lay down, and you fill in the blank. What are you laying down before God? What have you been complaining about lately? What staff do you hold in your hand that's dead that you now need to surrender to God? If it's a person, lay them down. If it's a child, lay them down. If it's a sickness, set it before God. Father, take the things that are being laid down before you today as we surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give him a shout of praise today. God bless you.